Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and every week we bring you powerful conversations that connect us. Today's show is all about science, psychology and human spirit. My guest is Farah Qureshi, a neuroscientist, neuromarketing specialist and the founder of Neuro Consulting. Farah blends neuroscience, psychology, and human behavior to help individuals and teams understand how their brains function under stress, focus, and decision making, and how to retrain those patterns for better performance, balance, and well-being. She works internationally running QEEG brain scans and private sessions in London, Copenhagen, and Malmo, helping high achievers, creatives, and business leaders shift from burnout and overthinking to calm, clarity, and confidence. Her mission is simple, but so profound: to demystify the brain. She believes transformation doesn't just come from pressure, but from understanding how the mind and nervous system truly work. Farah, it's such a pleasure to have you here today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for that beautiful intro. Very Arnott.
Thank you. Now, Farah, what first inspired you to go into neuroscience, and what drew you toward the practical side of neuromarketing and brain mapping? If you can explain a little about that, please.
Of course, good question. So neuroscience and neuromarketing are actually two different things, but what drew me to neuroscience and also neuromarketing is the same thing they have in common, which is understanding the why behind why we act differently, why we feel differently. We can be presented with the same situation and we feel differently and react differently to the same cue or trigger. And just growing up in my own household, I was always acting and feeling differently than my sister, for instance. So that started very early on when I was given a message from my mom and my sister took it differently than I did. So it was really about, for me, understanding how the mind works. And the mind is the organ that runs everything, and it can be implemented in our daily lives. So that also where neuromarketing blends with business, because when we do a business, it's about understanding, let's say we are selling a product, a cream. We have to understand who we are selling it to, right? Like basic marketing. But if we can understand deeper level on when they're buying that cream, how does that make them feel? We kind of, leading towards that understanding of the why again. So people just wants to be understood, and it's about the feeling it comes with it. And that's kind of how I got into neuroscience and neuromarketing, basically.
And I love that your curiosity began really early in life, didn't it? Just from noticing.
Very early, yes.
Just from noticing those subtle differences at home. It shows how deeply rooted your passion for understanding the why behind your thoughts and our thoughts really began. And that's such a powerful way of putting it, the idea that people don't just buy products, they buy how something makes them feel.
And you've always,
And you've explained that beautifully, the connection between neuroscience, emotion, and behavior so clearly. It's such a centered approach, the logic behind decisions, but the emotional and subconscious patterns driving them. It's amazing how you're bridging that, and I'm sure a lot of people will be interested to learn more. For our listeners who might not know what exactly QEEG brain scan is and what kind of insights can it reveal about how our brains operate day to day, what can you tell us, please?
Very good question. And it's really about information and sharing so people get to have awareness, right? So a QEEG brain scan measures the brain's electrical activities and shows which areas of your brain, let's say, are overactive, underactive, or out of balance. So a QEG scan gives you this visual map of how your brain is functioning day to day. So let's say we can measure everything from focus, stress, emotional regulation, sleep. I'm able even to see low and high blood pressure, epilepsy, if you have any diagnosis as ADHD, autism, because it'll show you in real time like what is balanced and what is not. So it's very in-depth and it's a 19-channel brain scan. And this is, the most deep scan you can get today with technology of your brain, basically.
And that's amazing. And how long does that usually take?
Yeah, so people think, oh, it's gonna take hours. I have to go through a machine or something. No, you just wear this EEG cab. So the thing about getting the cab on and having connection with the software and the scalp does take some time, depending on how thick your hair is, as it's a non-invasive system we use, but it's gel-based. So the gel takes, if you have very thick hair, around 15 to 20 minutes to get connection. But the scanning itself is only 5 minutes eyes open and 5 minutes eyes closed. So the scan itself is only 10 minutes, but I do set aside 45 minutes per client. So we don't stress about it. We do it calmly because many people come to me with a lot of anxiety. They're nervous about the scan. What will it show? So it's about calming them down first and taking it step by step, you know.
People often imagine brain scans intimidating or
Yes.
difficult, but the way you've described it makes it very approachable and even a bit light-hearted. And I love that you've done that. And also, it's lovely to actually learn about the different elements that you can actually scan, like you said, autism, ADHD, and ailments like that. What are the most common patterns you see in people struggling with stress, burnout, or lack of focus?
This is such a great question, like amazing, because after scanning so many brains, even when there are changes like in male and female brain, there are some differences. And also there are differences in children's brains, obviously, as they're not fully developed. But when I see in common with stress burnout, and this also applies for children and men and women, is the same thing I see. And that's three patterns in the brain that keep showing up again and again. And the first is high beta activity. And the high beta brainwave is linked to overthinking, alertness. And when it's very elevated, the brain is basically in a state of constant scanning the environment, meaning it's always on and it's always predicting something can go wrong, meaning you're in survival state. You're not feeling safe, and that's why you can't really relax. So it's very highly elevated. And then there's low alpha activity, which is the brain's calm and creative rhythm. So alpha basically makes us relax, feel centered, and to stay present. But when it's very low, people can't really switch off. It's like they're trying to relax, lay down. You can do sauna, you can do meditation, you can do a lot of things, but your mind is still running. It's like you're trying to switch off, but you can't really. And that's really draining. And then, as the third thing I see, is poor connectivity between the emotional and the logical areas of the brain. Meaning, our frontal lobes, which are the logic parts of the brain, they're not in the forefront. So emotions take over. So people often refer it as brain fog, they feel dysregulated. Because the prefrontal cortex is basically not being activated in this scenario. So the brain ends up being stuck and referred to as survival mode. It's not broken, and rewiring is a real thing. And now we have all these tools to help us, but it's just in a state of constant being alert. And then it drains you, basically. It drains your mind and it drains your body.
Thank you for that brilliant explanation. The powerful explanation you've given, I'm sure a lot of people will be able to understand that breakdown because the science makes it both relatable and hopeful. I love that you remind people that the brain isn't broken, it's simply in survival mode, and that shift in perspective is so healing in itself, the way you describe the connection between the emotional and the logical parts of the brain, and how dysregulation can feel like brain fog. It gives people permission to understand their experiences without that shame. I know we've all experienced that brain fog at some time. And
100%.
Thank you for sharing that. Now, neurofeedback sounds almost futuristic. Can you explain how it helps people understand and retrain thought patterns for better focus and calm, please?
Yes, very good question. So many people think all this technology is woo-woo stuff, you know, but it's actually been around for 2 decades. I just think focus is more so, yeah, it has. I just think focus is more so on it, like in the media now, than it has been ever before, because now so many gadgets and devices are out there and people are getting overwhelmed. But neurofeedback is actually something that's been around, as I said, for 2 decades, and it's basically about helping retrain your brain and connect to your nervous system. And how we do it is like, okay, I'm gonna come with the example. It's like going to the gym, but for your brain, if it makes sense.
Yes.
You're gonna keep being consistently with your gym workout. Instead of using your body, you wear this cap. Actually, we have different systems. We have an EEG cap without the gel. And we also have like a summer cap where you can have, it's called the Calibri system. And you can wear it where you're training. Let's say you have the frontal lobes are not working as they're supposed to, and we want to train that. We want to remove the brain fog, because that you can't do that. So then you don't need training in the rest of the brain. Then you wear this cap with the Calibri system in the front, and then every day, 20 minutes a day, you wear it on the same time. Then you get connected to the software system, and I'm able to lower or heighten the brain waves that you need in real time. So every day it's like monitoring your stress levels, your performance, without you actually have to do anything other than wearing that device. And after monitoring you for a week, we have a session on how your analytics are going. So it's kind of like, yeah, going to the gym, then you measure it after 2 weeks. How am I improving? Should I lift more? It's the same thing with the neurofeedback. It's just, we're just training your brain, basically.
Gym for the brain makes sense completely. And I love that analogy. I know that a lot of people don't really understand that the brain is malleable. And of course, you can rewire it. You can change it. And it's like you're changing the muscles in your body, but this isn't a muscle, we know that. Of course, you're training the brain by activating certain parts of it where it can be used consistently to change those thought patterns and ideas. It's quite difficult for people to understand, but if they understand the analogy of going to the gym and having that constant fitness regime,
yes,
it makes sense. And it's so fascinating, I think. And you've explained the process so clearly that it really actually paints a picture of how practical and transformative neurofeedback can be. And I love how you describe it as training the brain, because it gives people a sense of empowerment rather than intimidation. And the comparison of the gym progress, checking analytics, adjusting, improving, makes it relatable and shows that with consistency, real change is possible. So thank you so much for sharing that. And with,
of course,
and with you work with professionals and teams under pressure, because we all go through that. We all go through that type of pressure. What does neuroscience teach us about focus, resilience, and decision making in high stress environments?
Very good question, because yeah, as you know, many teams, like, I feel like stress is the new buzzword, like everyone is stressed today. So and therefore focus is also on more so on neuroscience, which is a good thing. So a calm brain is this is just logic and neuroscience, but a calm brain makes smarter decisions. So when we are stressed and under pressure, so some sort of cortisol levels in the brain are not bad for us. It actually makes us perform better. But when we are in a chronic state of high elevated cortisol levels in the brain, that's where we shut down, and that's where brain fog kicks in, and our decision making is under attack, basically, because when stress hijacks the prefrontal cortex, logic and empathy, for instance, or you understanding a situation better, shuts down. And that's really important when you are in a team. So it's about training the brain to stay regulated under pressure. So it's about understanding where is your threshold, when have you reached your limit, and how can we work together as a team with these differences. So neuroscience is teaching us that some sort of cortisol levels are not bad for us, but it's more if you're constantly in that pressure, then your team will not perform well. So it's about understanding this and how to work with it.
The way you connect neuroscience to real-world teamwork really stands out. It's not about eliminating the stress entirely, but learning to regulate it so logic, empathy, and collaboration stay intact.
Yes.
And your point about knowing your personal threshold and understanding that everyone is different is such a powerful reminder for leaders and teams alike. And in your experience, what are the biggest myths or misunderstandings people have about their brains and behavior?
Oh, there are so many. We need another show on this, but let me just start with a common one, that we are stuck with who we are. Like, you cannot change me. I am who I am. Or, you know, you hear sentences like that.
Yeah.
It's not true, because as you said, the brain is malleable. The brain is constantly changing, and that's where the term neuroplasticity comes into play.
Yes.
And meaning that change is possible at any given age. And now we have the data supporting it with all these tools, and neuroscience has always been saying this, but now we can actually back it up. But your brain is constantly in change. So it's not true. People choose to stay stuck. It's a choice. Sometimes they don't know how to get out of it, and that's where we can help them, right? But
yeah,
those are the biggest myths that are here, that, I'm so old. Some people say to me, I've scanned some who are in their 50s, not old at all, but they say to me, oh, it's too late for me to change. And I said, okay, it's a choice. It's not true, but it's a choice. If you choose, you can choose to stay there, or you can choose to rewire your brain, because you can always do that.
That is such an empowering perspective. I absolutely love how you break that myth down completely, because I know that both science and you're doing it with both science and compassion, really. The reminder that the brain is malleable and people are capable of change at any age, and especially people who feel that moment where they're stuck or they believe that this is just who I am. You've explained neuroplasticity. We don't realize it within ourselves that we can amend things. Just we have to give ourselves permission to our own growth as well. And you're so right. Many don't choose to stay stuck intentionally. I think they just haven't learned the tools yet. And this is where people like yourself and even I practice this as well alongside you. I know the actual elements of what you're describing. It's possible. It is possible. Thank you so much, Farah, for all your insights so far. We're going to take a short break now with a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and today I'm joined by the amazing Farah Qureshi, a neuroscientist and neuromarketing expert, the founder of Neuro Consulting. Before the break, we explored how neuroscience and human behavior intersect to help us manage stress and improve focus. Now, let's go deeper into how the brain connects with leadership, technology, and emotional balance. Welcome back, Farah.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Now, many of us live in that fight or flight mode that you spoke about earlier, and we do it without even realizing it. So what are some everyday signs that our brains are stuck in survival mode, and how can we shift out of it?
Very good question. We do live in an era of a lot of stress. We are pressured and we want to perform our best, and social media is not really helping with it. We are comparing ourselves constantly, which is, contributing to many of this flight or fight mode. So what we can do to shift out of it, I would say, let's start with the signs so you know if you're doing this or you're in it. When you get a QEG scan, we can see it definitely. But before doing that, it's about those racing thoughts. You're not shutting down. Like, you're always on. You have this need to be in control of everything. You can't really relax if it's not in your control. Sometimes your breath is affected. You have headaches. I've scanned so many that said to me they have migraines. Mm-hmm. And I see muscle tension in the scans as well. I can see all the stress in the neck, actually. Also, if you have a desk job, like most desk job people actually have it, based on the scans I've done. It's very normal to have it, but it's also a sign that you can change that around. So many people come to me with headaches or migraines, or they're thinking something is wrong with their lungs because they have shallow breathing and they have racing thoughts 24/7. So to shift out, I would say is first thing is noticing, being aware that there is a problem. So we can all take some deep breaths. Okay. We can do that anywhere, anytime. And when you take those deep breaths, you connect to your nervous system. You signal to your brain that you're safe, that you're okay. So the danger eliminates just a little bit. And then because we are very much, like, now it's based on office jobs or people that are locked up in offices, I would say go out and move your body as much as you can. Take those breaks and try to be nature as much as you can to ground yourself. Because we're not supposed to be in offices and working with our laptops 24/7. We are supposed to be connected to nature and to feel the feet on the ground, to move our bodies, not to be seated all day long. So having more breaks is also a way to calm yourself down, to tell your brain that you're okay and safe.
And your reminder that we can all pause and breathe.
Yeah, it's pausing. Yes, it's basically pausing more. Yes.
Yeah. And at any place, any time, brings the science beautifully back to something very practical and empowering. And that's mindfulness, isn't it?
It's mindfulness, 100%. It's mindfulness. And we need more of it. We can't get enough of it, basically.
Yeah, and I think stepping outside, feeling the ground beneath us and giving the brain a break isn't important.
Yes.
It's essential for regulation and well-being. And I think that's the other thing that people don't realize, that actually breathing and being conscious of your breathing is so important, because it does help the nervous system immensely. That is the medicine for anxiety, really, to calm yourself down, isn't it?
It is.
You often talk about the link between brain health and leadership, going back to that. How can understanding the brain make someone a more empathetic or effective leader?
Yes, good question. So it's about understanding the cues of stress, the signals, and doing something about it. So once you are aware, you can't ignore them anymore, basically. Your body can shut down, you get sick. That's why many people get sick in workplaces, because for so long they've been ignoring the signs, and then the body just shuts down. It just can't anymore, basically. And then you're forced to be on bed rest or whatever. So leaders especially are always performing under high pressure. And once they recognize the cues, they can actually change it around in themselves, but also around in their team. Meaning, if they pay attention to it and just start by doing some breath work, or not running or rushing through meetings, like going from one to the other without any breaks in between, they're actually able to respond with more calm and make better decisions, instead of being reactive and making some wrong decisions. Because in order to make it, like, we made 95 of our decisions are made on emotions. They're based on emotions. This is neuroscience. My thesis was actually based on this. So 95%, I scanned 100 women, and 95% of our emotions are based on emotions. But then the logic is the 5%, because the brain is always working together. Mm. So then we rationalize it, and then a decision is made, basically. Especially leaders, they have to be in, like, they have to make decision being rationally more aware. And in order to be that, they need breaks. They need to connect inward with themselves. And not just going from one thing to the other, because you then overwhelm takes over, meaning you not being able to think clearly and make the best decisions.
And I think a lot of people forget that, because there's always this idea of deadlines, isn't there?
Consumption,
and, you know, I haven't got time. And it's fascinating and so eye-opening, the fact that 95%
yes,
of our decisions are driven by emotion, really.
Yes.
Reframes how we think, because especially about leadership and decision making, it's incredible that your thesis explored this through real data too. So there's evidence based there. And I love how you explain the dance between emotion and logic, that emotion leads and logic follows to rationalize. And your point that leaders needing breaks to stay connected inward is so powerful. It highlights that self-regulation isn't a luxury, it's a necessity.
It's a necessity, clarity. Exactly.
And we need that clarity when we're making big decisions in organizations, and sound judgments. And I think that's what authentic leadership is all about. People need to have that clarity in their mind. They shouldn't feel that overwhelm at all. And when you do feel it, it's important to pause. And again, that brings us back to the whole mindfulness concept and why it's so important.
Yes.
To be very consciously aware of what you're doing and how you're feeling and what your actions will be. And you've worked in different cultures and countries and traveled quite extensively. How has that shaped your understanding of how people approach mental health and neuroscience?
Such a good question. So I'm based in Copenhagen, but I travel to London every 2 months to scan brains. And then I'm only 30 minutes away from Sweden, because I'm at that side of Denmark where I'm closest to Sweden than I am to Germany. So Malmö is very close. And as I have extensive following from Denmark and UK and Sweden, it's just went in naturally to work with those people. So what I've learned is that cultures are different, but the brain's language is universal, meaning Every brain is seeking the same thing, a better understanding of themselves, so they can have that safety in their lives. To have that understanding also brings clarity, right? When they're going through a rough path in their lives, they want meaning, they want connection, and it's just expressed through different values and cultures. But the mental health is the same everywhere I go. People want to know the same answers, which is, they think, and I hear this phrase a lot, I think there's something wrong with my brain. And I'm always laughing at it because I'm like, there's nothing wrong with your brain. No, I really think, I've heard this from people close
yes,
to me.
Yes, bye. Yes.
And I'm like, okay, but let's scan you and see. But can we stop saying there's something wrong with you? Because we will just get answers to what is imbalanced or out of sync or what is stuck. But with that said, you do have the opportunity now to change it around, right? And we can work on it. So basically, we are working with your brain instead of against it, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing I experienced with people. They say the same things. They have the same form of anxiety levels. They're scared what I will find. Some asks me funny things like, can you read my thoughts? I'm like, no. I'm not a clairvoyant. Like, I cannot see into the future. I cannot read your thoughts. I will not know everything about you. Don't worry. It's just their fears talking, right? Yes. But this experience in all these cultures, the same things. It doesn't really change.
Instantly can put people at ease, can't it? When you show that science can be both compassionate and approachable, and helping people release that imbalance doesn't mean something's wrong. It simply means there's room to realign and grow. And I think I love that you've pointed this out, that the consistency across cultures is such a profound reminder of our the way that our mind is. I mean, everybody has different experiences, but the brain is, we all speak the same language. It's a part of being human, I suppose. That's the only way to put it.
Yeah.
It's what human beings
are made of. We have the same brain waves, Belinda. Like, we have the same, we have the six brain waves in our brain. That doesn't change. If you're lacking it, then you're lacking it. But you're supposed to have it, right? And we can insert it with neurofeedback. But I'm just mentioning that it looks the same. We just have some different imbalances. That's the real thing, basically.
And what role does faith or mindfulness play in your approach to mental clarity and healing?
Oh, I love this question. I always ask people, are you spiritual or are you a believer of God? And they, either they say no or yes, because we all need hope, especially when we're struggling. And I think that's really there's salvation in spirituality and in religion. And I work with different cultures and religions, but they all have this in common as well, that they have some sort of hope that now they're trying this to get some answers that will improve their life quality or to help them understand their problems better. And they're all struggling. So this gives them a light of hope. And mindfulness, when I tell them you can do basic things as just taking some deep breaths, and they're like, is it really as simple as that? I said, well, we can start with it and see how you feel. And then they're like, wow, I didn't know, like, taking deep breaths every day or in between my meetings would actually led me to feel less overwhelmed. This is just an example. Mm. But sometimes it's in the simple of things, changing some things around, that can really make a big difference in our lives.
Absolutely.
And when people don't know, they don't know, right? So if I'm saying small things like, I want you to go and walk for 15 minutes in your break every day, they're like, what will 15 minutes do? I'm like, just try it. And then they're doing it, and then they can live without it. They're feeling more clarity. They're making better decisions. Yeah, it does work like that for your brain. I think it's fascinating how we can always find a way to work with our brain instead of against it.
And I think that comes back down to that awareness. And it's an empowering note, I think. It's Again, I find all of this fascinating, hence why I went into the field of psychology myself, because it's really important that we understand how our mind works, what we're actually experiencing in that moment, how we can use certain simple tools to adapt those feelings of fear and regulate our nervous system. And it is with those simple techniques that you explained, helping people reconnect with themselves and in the most practical, life-changing way. And technology has changed the way we think. As you mentioned very earlier on, it's social media, the comparisonitis that people experience. It has also changed the way that we focus and even feel. From a neuroscience perspective, how can we build a healthier relationship with digital life?
Very good question. So I think we live in an era of, more and more products are being developed for mental health. We're in that era right now as we speak. And there are so many tools now that can help support us, support the mental health, basically. So we don't have to wait to feel better, but we can actually do something about it. So I'm like, I'm all pro for those products. But again, there are many. So do consult someone before starting, like do your research well, because sometimes the products are there too fast, if it makes sense. And they're promising big things and it doesn't work. So, and that's why sometimes products drop as well. That's why do your research, consult someone who's specialized and experienced before you start something, like have a meeting with them. Because we have the product today that can make a difference and they help us and it can really get you out of the state that you're currently in for the better. So I'm pro with these products and I just got certified and doing all these scans. I've been a neuroscientist for 14 years, but I've been in the corporate world, scanning brains with the old systems, but now we have new technology and I move towards the healing space. With the nervous system. And there are so many options today and people feel overwhelmed. So I will always say consult someone who has experience, who's been in the space, who can guide you. When I do the scans, I offer neurofeedback, EMDR, hypnosis, or TMS. It really depends on your scan. But I'm certified in hypnosis and neurofeedback, but not EMDR and not TMS. So then I'm recommending them to other professionals. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, that you cannot do everything, but there are options that work. One thing works better for one than the other. Then I will always recommend that. And as a curious person, I am going to start with the TMS certification as well, because it's also very helpful. And it's also about the frontal lobes of the brain you use, which is a bit different from neurofeedback, but there are many tools today to help you to feel better, so you don't have to live with this pain that you're in.
I think people are understanding what neurofeedback is, but a lot of people don't know what EMDR is. They know hypnosis and they don't understand TMS. Can you just explain a little for our listeners?
Yes. So EMDR is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it's usually used for people with PTSD, trauma, anxiety, but on a really higher level.
Thank you. And TMS?
TMS is transcranial magnetic stimulation. And its purpose is to treat high levels of depression, anxiety, OCD, where other things haven't really helped. So this is a really good tool.
Yeah. And it's also there, as you said, for OCD and the anxiety and PTSD as well, isn't it?
Yes, and, it is.
And EMDR is becoming very popular as well. And it's a simple psychotherapy technique of that eye movement. And thank you so much for your insight so far. You've been brilliant and we really appreciate everything that you're explaining and doing. Let's take another short break with a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm Belinda Walia and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. We're here with the brilliant Farah Qureshi, whose work in neuroscience and neuromarketing is helping people worldwide understand the power of their own minds. What small daily rituals or habits do you personally use, Farah, to support your own cognitive and emotional balance?
Love this. I do a lot of work, actually. I wake up really early in the morning. Yes, I'm a member of the 5 a.m. club by Robin Sharma. No, I am. I've been that. But I have three kids. If I'm not up before them, it will be like the Hunger Games. So I need to regulate myself before the house is awake. And this is something I've been practicing for, I would say, my daughter is 13 now. Yeah. I think for 13 years, always been an AA person, always been early riser, but now is even more so. Because I realize, especially with kids, if you're not ready and if your nervous system is being alerted, like if you get woken up, like they scream or they don't want to get out of bed, like that's going to affect your whole day. So I wake up really early to connect with myself. And then I actually meditate on my prayer map. Because I'm already seated, and then I meditate, not long, only for 5 minutes, where it's just about taking some deep breaths and just connecting inward, of manifesting a good day. Alongside the prayer and meditation, I also do affirmations in the mirror, where I'm speaking kindly to myself, and then high-fiving I've been doing for the last 4 years. Mel Robbins, I saw something and I found it funny. So I've been high-fiving myself for the last 4 years, because she says we're always greeting our family, our spouses, our children, but we never greet ourselves.
Yeah.
So I do that every morning. And I tell her that today's going to be an amazing day and you're going to try your best. And that is good enough. Because, yeah, I have my wounds as well. And the most of my childhood, I didn't feel good enough, or also in my early adulthood. So now I'm saying it to myself every day to believe it. And so my brain feels safe. That is basically my morning ritual. And I'm always dressed and ready. And I do cold showers. And this is something new I've added on. Not for long I do it. I start with a normal warm shower. And then I do 1.5 minutes of cold shower, especially on the vagus nerve, which is on the back, on our neck. That's where the vagus nerve is. And I put the water there, especially for longer than I do on other parts, because it gives us that kick of dopamine and you're just primed for a strong day.
The cold shower thing I'm still practicing at the
moment. No, and you shouldn't start in winter, okay?
Yeah.
Heads up.
Yeah.
I started with this. I'm actually reaching the 2 years now in February. And as you can hear, it's going very slowly because I can only do 1.5 minutes with cold showers.
Oh, well, so. That's certainly long enough in my books. So thank you for sharing that. I think it's a fantastic routine. It perfectly blends neuroscience with practical self-care, and I like that you mentioned targeting the vagus nerve with cold water. It's such a smart science-backed way to activate the parasympathetic nervous system and
yes.
boost the dopamine naturally. Thank you for sharing that. Now, for listeners who may not have access to brain mapping or hypnosis, what simple practical exercises can help calm an anxious or overactive mind?
Yes, I would say you need quiet time with yourself. Eliminate the noise, no phone, no screen time, because we're always with some sort of screen, right? And we check our phones more than we check anything else. So just putting the phone away, actually, for a little bit of time every day, you start feeling less anxious. Trust me, it works. And there's neuroscience studies backing this up. So what I do with my family is that we all have to drop our phones when we come home from school run or work. So I lock all of our phones in the kitchen so no one has access, and we are together having eye contact as a family. It doesn't always last long, but I have a rule, and the timer opens up the phones when it's supposed to. So we are forced to be without phones, and then you automatically just relax. No one is beeping you or sending you things. You actually get to connect with yourself and with people around you. And I think in this world where we live in, all kids have phones. They start really early, which is really alarming for the brain development. But they start really early, and everybody's just doing their own thing. We're together, but we're not really present. So taking the phones away is actually, I would say, the first thing you can work on. That also applies for you in the morning, like having no notifications on your phone, because you're basically inviting anxiety in. So having it on sleep mode, that's what I do. For 1.5 hours in the morning, there's no notifications. My notifications kick off when I'm going to do school run. So that's how I do it, and it does work. Everybody can do this. Start with the phone. And of course, some deep breath takes you a long way when you're feeling anxiety.
Giving yourself that hour and a half of uninterrupted quiet time in the morning sets such a powerful tone for the day. But I speak about this often, where I say people have fonku, where it's the fear of not keeping up. But I think you've got to put that aside, and obviously over time when you practice things, it becomes a habit. And finally, what's the biggest message you want people to take away about their relationship with their brain today, Farah?
Very good question. Well, your brain health matters, and now instead of ruminating about what is going on with me, you can actually get the answers by just doing something as simple as a scan or reach out for the exact help that you need, because we have resources today to help you. So I feel like people go too far with their brain health, meaning they go to the doctor when they have a physical symptom, but when they have migraines or headaches or they feel foggy, some people even have blurry sights and stuff. That's because their brain is so drained, like they're mentally exhausted. So listen to the cues and do something about it, because you matter. And so does, the brain runs it, basically. Your brain health matters.
Thank you so much, Farah. Thank you for joining us today, for your work. And I think it beautifully bridges the gap between neuroscience and everyday life, showing us that our brains are not obstacles to overcome, but allies to understand.
Yes, exactly. Allies. I love that. That was correctly put. Yes. Thank you for having me. Such an honor. Truly enjoyed it. Thank you.
No, it's our pleasure. And for our listeners, where can they find you?
Well, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Instagram, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on TikTok. So there's a lot of access to me. I brand myself as Farah Neuroscience, as that's my name and I'm doing neuroscience. And yeah.
So to our listeners, thank you for joining us. If today's episode has inspired you to explore your own mind more deeply, you can connect with Farah through neuroconsulting or follow her journey on social media. And to close today's show, here's a song that captures that sense of awakening and possibility, Light On by Maggie Rogers, because sometimes all we need is a reminder to stay aware, stay grounded, and keep our inner light shining. Until next time, take care of your mind, your energy, and each other. Keep reaching.